Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Slide over, babe. You've got some company.
This is The Rich Eisen Show, live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Colts have it. Interception.
Allen.
Look at Harvey. Incomplete. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Jamal Williams.
A third pump will draw a flag no matter what.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
An open game of chuckle. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Yes. Hey, everybody. It's the final Monday of September of 2022. We have got some company here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let me just explain. Obviously, we're on the Roku channel. Channel 210 for those who want to watch us every single day, 12 to 3 Eastern, on all Roku-connected devices. We say hello to our Roku channel audience on Samsung Smart TVs as well as Amazon Fire TV. If you're watching on the Roku app, the Roku channel's free on it. We say hello to you on the RokuChannel.com. Bottom line is we say hello. It's free. We say hello to the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio listeners coast to coast, 50-plus affiliates and growing. Getting larger, like Leon from Airplane. Every single day, we say hello to our Odyssey listening audience. We say hello to those listening to us on our podcast, available every single day, all 3 hours on the Cumulus Podcast Network. Hit us with a subscribe. We say hello to all of you. And now we say hello to everybody once again listening to us on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back.
Yes, we are. Channel 218 on Sirius. Channel 202 on XM. We're back on satellite radio. Again, Sirius 218, XM 202. Hello. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Two backstops for you on anything that you miss. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Please hit us with a subscribe. We would appreciate that. And also, once this show ends live, boom, we start again on channel 210 on the Roku channel. It's called Wheeling Back. And forth every single day. That's the way we're rolling. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Do you have
sympathy reference pain into your ankle today?
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure.
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts. Good to see you over there, sir.
Good to see you, Rich. Good morning.
Getting ready to watch the team that he calls the varsity on the worldwide leader in sports tonight against the New York Football Giants. TJ Jefferson, how are you over there, sir? Good to see you. Light the candle.
The candle's lit. I feel good. I'm ready for some football.
Excellent,
tonight,
sir. Yes. So week three begins, finishes up tonight. It begun a couple of nights ago with the Steelers trying to beat the Cleveland Browns. And we all know the Browns beat them back tonight. The Cowboys and Giants play one another for, one would think, the right to be closest to challenge the Philadelphia Eagles, who looked terrific in Washington, D.C. yesterday, the Washington Commanders.
Yep.
Getting smoked. Chris Long's going to join us to talk about everything in the world of the National Football League. He joins us at the top of hour number two. We're going to have Overreaction Monday right in the center of our program. Chris Long, by the way, is going to join us every single Monday here during the regular season and postseason on the Rich Eisen Show to tell us what we just saw and give us his unique thoughts. His Green Light podcast is outstanding. You should go check it out and subscribe to that as well. And Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, will join me and us in hour number three to tell us who got hurt significantly, who might be back soon enough. The Las Vegas Raiders, who have patently disappointed me and the rest of Raiders Nation, the owner had a sit-down chat behind closed doors with the coach in Tennessee after the Raiders dropped that one to fall to 0-3. The latest on that, that's in hour number three. Okay, let's talk, shall we, about the game of the day yesterday. Now, we thought going in it would be the Battle of the Bays, the GOATs. We actually had live GOATs on NFL Network yesterday in Brady and Aaron Rodgers' jerseys in advance of that. Game of the day was in the AFC East. I can't remember the last time we said that. I can't remember. Maybe when I was in college. I'm serious. Right? Because before
Richard Todd slinging the rock.
I mean, as we all know, the Belichick era, it was just them. You know, the Bills kind of surprised people every now and then. The Jets grounded and pounded, whatever. Must see TV. I said it last week in five things that I know about this season so far is that the Dolphins, for the first time in a quarter century, are must see television. I also said number one is that the Bills are bona fide soul snatchers because they've not only beaten up their opponents, they've left them on the side of the road wondering about their existences. Rams week one and the Titans in week two. And yesterday, the Bills went into South Florida, 100-degree weather, short week game, short roster on the back end. No Jordan Poyer, no Micah Hyde. Tre'Davious White is still out. They had a very green secondary going into that game. No Ed Oliver up front. Gabe Davis, who was that weird, did not play last week after showing up on a injury report two nights before a Monday night game. He was back, but
didn't really get tired.
I don't know how the Bills pulled it off yesterday, keeping it as close as they did and keeping the Dolphins down, but they did. And it was just a wild affair. A wild affair that featured everything from a botched fake spike at the end of the first half against the Dolphins, where it looked like that they were going to try and spike it.
I think he fumbled it, actually.
And then it was a bad actual snap. And then he faked it and then threw it out to Stephon Diggs.
That almost got pick sixed.
And then we saw before that, Tua Tagovailoa bang his head on the turf, get up like he just got through 60 seconds with Mike Tyson back in the day. And Teddy Bridgewater comes in the game, and you think, okay, that's not only it for Tua today, but maybe this week, and the Dolphins have a short week. They start week four against the Bengals on Thursday night. Tua comes back. Hello. And not only does he come back, he looks pretty damn clear-headed as he, in the fourth quarter, on a 3rd and 22 from his own 47, needing to get essentially to the opposing 30-yard line to keep the drive alive, goes up top to Jaylen Waddle. And it's the first time the Bills, despite their green secondary, gets beat deep all day. And then the Dolphins somehow stop the Bills multiple times, despite Josh Allen putting it up 60-plus times in 100-degree weather and putting together long-ass 6-7 minute long drives against this defense, and suddenly the defense stiffens. Stephon Diggs is cramping like crazy. He's going in and out of the game. And the Bills get stopped on the doorstep. And the Dolphins have just got to try and run out the clock. But instead, on 3rd and long, instead of running the ball so the Bills, who are out of timeouts, can't stop the clock, and you can run it down, and maybe if you got to punt it back to the Bills, you put the pressure on them with less time left on the clock. Mike McDaniel calls for a pass. Incomplete. Thomas Morstead's got a punt from the back of his end zone, and he kicks the punt right in the ass of the man who's blocking for him. A butt punt. Let me repeat. A butt punt. And just when you thought the Dolphins could win this game, you're thinking, that taint happening.
Hey, now.
Wait a minute, give me a minute. The butt punt actually did lead to two.
Hey.
Because it went off the cushion and goes out of the end zone for safety. Jeez. And now the Bills are going to get good field position, and all they need is a field goal to win. And they start driving again. And it's just like, is this game going to end? How's it going to end? It ends with Josh Allen somehow, someway. Just like his first year. Couldn't get the proper footing. Had a wide open receiver to hit. And winds up dirting it. game over. He puts his hand in the turf. I mean, it just, and then the last weird thing that would happen in this game, the booth cam on offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey with something that will live forever, him just tearing up his workspace. In full-on tantrum.
That was amazing. And then the hand at the end, blocking the camera.
Let's help Coach out a little bit here. Somebody decides, oh, let's block that camera.
Whoever did that,
very savvy member of the staff.
Assist of the year.
Holy cow. I said it the other day when the Dolphins did what they did to the Ravens. I said that the Dolphins have reshuffled the deck in the AFC, that they could actually win the conference if Tua is throwing it the way he is throwing it. And when he went out yesterday, he proved his value by his absence. That's what happens sometimes. Teddy Bridgewater looked lost. I know it's very difficult to just get in a game against a team like the Bills. But reshuffled the deck indeed. This team can win this division. They're already up one. And I don't know, man. I don't know. Just when you think, how sustainable could this be? They don't even have to score a ton of points. Defensively, they got after Josh Allen in a way that the Rams didn't, in a way that the Titans couldn't. They got after him. Melvin Ingram. He has been born again in South Florida. Woo! Is he bringing the heat? They got back-end presence as well. Ooh. And the Bills, man, I will just say this about the Bills. And to the Bills Mafia, R-E-L-A-X, if you're in any way, shape, or form concerned about that. Well, we were unbalanced. Yeah, we still can't run it. Oh, my gosh, we're banged up on the back end. I'm just going to say this. You should go back to Buffalo, and the Bills should go back to Buffalo and say, we just took on absolutely the next best team in our division. And that's how I would look at the Dolphins if I'm the Bills. We just faced the next best team in our division in their house where weird stuff happens to everyone. Hello, Miami Miracle. Just for instance, weird stuff happens to everyone down in Miami. It was 100 degrees. It was a short week game for them. Cramping all over the place. We don't even have our best players on the back end of defense at all. And we held Waddle and Hill down. Hill for much of the game, and for most of it, if not all the game, and Waddle for much of it. You knocked Tua out. I don't know how the hell he came back, and that's what we're going to talk about with Tom Pelissero later on in hour number three, because he was stumbling around like he was a punch-drunk fighter. And he comes back in the game, looked terrific in spots. An MVP-type throw, which is what we would call it, if it was somebody not named Tua going up top to Jalen Waddle to set up the go-ahead score. Put it all together, though. If you're Buffalo, you're like, this is the only way we could have gotten beat. Banged up, shorthanded, cramping, and we still damn near won the game, and we made a ton of mistakes. We left it out on the field literally and figuratively. And we still almost won the damn thing to stay undefeated. So take heart, Buffalo. You might be looking up at Miami for a while. I don't know. That's going to be a tough game for them. Short week coming off of that draining performance while the Bengals kind of put their feet up on the Jets table yesterday in New Jersey. But that's my opinion. Dolphins showed they can definitely win this conference, and the Bills showed you're going to have to really put it together like that in order to beat us. The late game that everyone was looking forward to seeing, Tampa and Green Bay. Again, just like the Bills, you want to talk about shorthanded? Both teams missing a ton of people. Davante Adams is never walking through that door again for Green Bay. And you're going to have to put it together with these young kids. That's it. You're going to have to put it together with whatever young kids are going to answer the bell and be healthy. And they're getting healthier on the offensive line, and they still have Aaron Rodgers with his clear eyes and full heart and cup of tea. And they jumped on him. They jumped on him and put 14 points on the board real fast.
Yeah, real fast.
And that's what they had to do yesterday. Certainly because Brady, you want to talk about shorthanded, Mike Evans throwing hands with Marcus Lattimore the week before. He's out. Julio Jones, he's hurt already. Chris Godwin got re-hurt, hopefully not for a long time. He's missing his center. He was missing his left tackle, Brady. He's missing his Gronk. He's missing everything. And you jump on them early and you keep Brady down. That's the way you're going to win this football game. But that Bucs defense, man, they will just, that's what I'm hanging my hat on, having chosen the Bucs to win the NFC. I'm still hanging my hat on that. That Vita Vea, that big, huge-ass bowling ball in the middle of their defensive line, that in the red zone, in the lower red, by the way, I'm always hearing this high red zone, low red zone conversation these days. For those who are wondering, high red zone is just right around the 20-yard line. Low red zone is when you're inside the five. So you're inside the five. And they dropped Vita Vea in coverage, and he blew up. Aaron Jones had caused a fumble. This defense is outstanding. And guess what happened with Brady towards the end of the game? They start putting it together. He starts putting it together, and the Packers let him march down the field and score a touchdown with hardly any time left, and then a two-point conversion. Somehow, some way, the Bucs do not get that play off. And it's a delay of game. So now they got to score from the 7-yard line, totally different ball of wax than the two, and the Bucs don't convert, and the Bucs are now 2-1, knocked from the ranks of the unbeaten early on, and the Packers respond from that goose egg that they laid in Minnesota with back-to-back wins over the Bears and now the Bucs. And what a huge tiebreak this will be. It's entirely possible. We'll see what happens with the Eagles. We will see what happens in the NFC West, whether it is the Rams and the Niners, and they play one another on Monday night, 1 week from tonight, to wrap up week four in a huge game there. Just got to wonder, does this mean a potential last game between the two 12-wearing goats would happen in Lambeau Field? Huge tiebreak in the back pocket of the Packers moving forward. Green Bay's defense is just as championship quality as Tampa's. We saw that yesterday. But one thing that I'm hanging my hat on if I'm Tom Brady is I'm going to get my guys back sooner rather than later. And he was asked after the game about why the two-point conversion was a 2.0, not a 1.0, because of the delay of game penalty.
I just looked up and we had a just a bad execution. It's really what it is.
Nothing more. Did you try to check the run at that point?
There's a lot to it. So bad execution on offense at a time where we needed good execution and we didn't get it. And there was a lot of other times we had a lot of other bad execution. And I think the reality is when you do that, you don't have the opportunity to score points. So it was too many plays where we were behind the sticks and not good on third down and penalties, turnovers, missed opportunities. And, you know, defense played great. We got to play better on offense. We got to do a lot better job. We haven't scored many points all season. So, 3 games, we got to get a lot better.
Go ahead, Mike Del Tufo.
What were they really thinking?
Do you see who I'm playing out there with? You want to talk about execution? I'm playing with guys that just, one guy DM'd me. Slid into my DMs on Instagram, Cole Beasley. We'll get him up to speed. But I'm playing with a bunch of guys that, and we're trying to move guys around. We're trying to motion guys. Yeah, I'm the GOAT. I don't know what to tell you. I got a whole bunch of new guys around here. I'm trying my hardest. We are. And by the way, I think you can buy this Forever Young t-shirt at tb12.com.
Kind of a cool shirt.
It is. But that's what he's really thinking. I'm just hoping he's not sitting there thinking, why the hell did I come back? I don't know. I've got my two. I don't know why. I'm just seeing the lack of joy in his game. And I think part of that is he doesn't have his guys. He did have him for a hot minute in week one. A hot minute. And then Julio's hurt and Godwin's hurt. And now he's down. He's feeling like he's back in New England in 2019, I bet, with all of his weapons around him.
Exactly.
And so he's just going to have to wait it out. The problem for the Bucs in the short term is the Kansas City Chiefs, who just spit the bit in Indianapolis, are coming in for Sunday Night Football next week. But we're still marathoning. We're not sprinting. However, in the marathon, the Packers are running this marathon with a tiebreak on Tom Brady and the Bucs in their back pocket when everybody comes back healthy and starts playing some serious football. When the stakes get higher and the weather gets colder. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. What do you think about your team? What do you think about what's going on in your world? Chris Long will join us coming up on this program. Also, Tom Pelissero to give us all the information, news, and notes and injury news. Mac Jones looks significantly hurt. The Chargers got absolutely banged up and spanked by the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're going to hit that game later on in this hour. But when we come back, the Sunday Night Football game, we cannot unsee. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Roku channel, Odyssey, Terrestrial Radio, and Sirius XM. We're back on satellite, folks.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Roku channel, 210, Odyssey, and Sirius XM, baby. Yes, back here on the Rich Eisen Show Terrestrial Radio Network. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We've got phone lines lighting. It's great. We'll take some calls shortly on this program. Chris Long, top of hour number two, to discuss what we've seen in week number three. Sunday Night Football, let's talk about it, shall we?
Do we have to?
You should do that.
Oh, there was ice, and the game stunk on it.
Do we have to?
Let's talk about the Broncos first. Let's talk about the winning team first. That's how we roll.
We should start by what I text Chris about the game.
Let's not do that. Let's not do that. I think it's commentary like that that gets account suspended.
Oh, wow.
let's talk about the Broncos. I'm watching the Broncos last night. I'm watching the Broncos last night. And I'm thinking to myself, this looks familiar to me. Why does it look so familiar to me? It's so eerily familiar to me, what I'm watching.
Yeah, deja vu?
I did. And I'm like, why? What is it? I can't quite put my finger on it. And I'm watching this team completely struggle. And I'm watching them struggle on offense. Not defense. I'm watching a terrific defensive performance by Denver. And I'm watching the offense just look terrible. Terrible. And the quarterback look thoroughly subpar in the process. And it was just a constant mishmash of checkdowns and swing passes and running plays that go nowhere. Don't see the imagination that you think you could have with a quarterback who can run it as well, right? We're not seeing a lot of riding. And trust me, I'm also focused on this because Javonte Williams is my fantasy running back and I needed points desperately. And I'm just watching him run in and out Cooper, my 11-year-old, also has Javonte Williams, and he asked me a question he's never asked me before, and I never thought he would ask me. Dad, who's Mike Boone? Well, son, I guess he's their third down back, and it doesn't matter what the down and distance is or how incredibly talented our fantasy running back is. He's coming out, and Mike Boone's coming in. And at one point, Mike Boone was getting just as many snaps as Javonte Williams, and this team's struggling on offense. Like, where have I seen this before? And then late game, all of a sudden, offense comes alive. Boom. It's like we struck midnight and the pumpkin's a carriage, like the reverse Cinderella. And all of a sudden, we're moving, we're shaking. First downs are a cropper. Ball's coming out quick. Quarterback feels more comfortable moving around, finding guys. Touchdown. After struggling the entire game. And then the Broncos win. And I still can't put my finger on it. And then I heard the quarterback after the game being so incredibly positive, as if what we just saw was peaches and cream and roses and rose petals the entire time. Here was Russell Wilson afterwards on NBC.
These guys battled all night. I mean, this is a terrific game. I mean, it doesn't get any better. The battle back and forth. This team's really good. San Francisco, I've played them for years. I told the guys earlier in the week, it's going to come down to the wire in the fourth quarter, and we got to win it. We got to find a way. And despite all the trouble and the battling, our defense played amazing. And what a game it was.
What a game it was.
Do you think he even knows what he's saying?
Dude.
Like, he's just in post-game rah-rah talk mode.
He's very positive, and that's when I finally put my finger on it. He's the second version of Tebow time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
Now, that's not what's being envisioned with Broncos country Let's Ride.
Right.
Tebow had terrific receivers, too. Right? Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker. That's like Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Good running backs, terrific defense, looked terrible the entire night, looked like the ball was coming out with your left hand, your left foot. He's left-handed. Honestly, was that not a Tebow time type performance last night? Offense looked terrible. They're booing. That's where I was, I heard the crowd booing. I'm like, where have I heard that before in Denver? I was there that night on a Thursday night against the Jets nationally televised game. Tebow looked terrible. Boo. All of a sudden, win. Yay. Oh, gosh, they won. And it left me wondering, how sustainable is what we just saw? Especially because they, in Denver, this week, to Nathaniel Hackett's credit, added a new coach to the staff, a gent named Jerry Rosberg, who's been in the league 40 years. He's sitting up in the booth helping with the game management. Unfortunately for Denver, the new game manager coach went 0-2 on challenges. Baby steps. Baby steps.
Do they hire a game manager for the game manager this week?
And maybe they're going to have to do that.
40 years, you shouldn't be baby stepping.
Amen. Amen.
Baby stepping.
And I know Broncos fans will be hearing this take saying, great take you had on the Raiders winning the division.
Well.
Terrible take, and I will hit that later on.
It's early.
And the Broncos go visit Vegas next week. Oh. And they can take into that the fact that you are what you are in this league. And what they are right now is a 2-1 team tied with the Chiefs atop the AFC West, even though the Broncos have one fewer point scored in their first three games this year than the Chiefs had in the 44-point win they had in week one in Kansas City. So Kansas City has scored 88 points, half of it in week one. They have the same record as the Broncos. Let's ride.
Let's ride.
But I'll tell you what, I do have concerns as to how sustainable this is moving forward, if that's the performance we're going to see. Because it looked very Tebow time-esque. Terrible throughout. Boo. What's going on with these decisions they're making on offense? The whole scheme looks completely out of rhythm. The quarterback looks totally out of rhythm. Oh, it's time to win. They march down the field. They win the game. Quarterback so sunny positive. This is great. I knew it looked familiar. And that's what it looked like to me. But they're 2-1, and Russ is on top of the AFC West roost through 3 weeks, tied with the Chiefs.
That's crazy.
Facts. This league, man. Now the 49ers. I mean, the whole Jimmy G is there, and it's just going to make Trey Lance nervous, and it's going to ruin the whole quarterback room and locker room and season for the Niners. All that talk, as we all know, went poof in the middle of last week's first half when Trey Lance gets hurt. And the whole idea, certainly with the Niners winning, is like, okay, now it's just going to be Jimmy G and the Niners, just like last year, and this team is going to go on a deep run because Jimmy G is much better than Trey Lance and much more efficient and much more veteran, and the locker room believes in him, and he took the team to the NFC Championship game last year, so on and so forth. But what we saw last night from Jimmy G and the Niners on offense is exactly why we were wondering how Jimmy G could push Lance and create a problem if he gets in the game, because he will be more veteran than Lance, and we will see the ball come out in ways that Lance did not have it leave his hand and get into the hands of, say, like somebody named Deebo Samuel, who, as we know, had a terrific game last night. And certainly in the first half was going off in a way that we did not see in the first 2 weeks of this season. And last year, what we saw over the last 2 years from Deebo Samuel to earn the contract that he got in every way possible is because Jimmy G was the guy throwing him the ball last year. So we saw that. And then we also saw from Jimmy G the exact reason why they traded all those picks to go get his replacement. Just shooting you straight. We saw from Jimmy G some football and head-shaking plays that caused the Niners to essentially say two drafts ago, we're done with Jimmy G long-term, and the clock starts ticking on the end of his realm right now. And whoever we draft is going to be the one to determine how long that stay for Jimmy G in San Francisco and with us will last. And it turned out to be a kid who was very green in Trey Lance, and they didn't have to make that move at the starter's role last year, and decided this year was the end because Jimmy G plays football at the quarterback position on occasion so erratically, so mistake prone, that they just can't live with him anymore. I've never seen somebody step out of the end zone like Jimmy G did, fading back to pass. And you might sit there and go, oh, wait a minute. Dan Orlovsky did it. As a matter of fact, Tirico mentioned Orlovsky's name immediately, and Orlovsky sent out a freedom-like tweet as if he was William Wallace on the spot that went instantly viral, and why not? So, yes, I have seen that before, but Dan Orlovsky didn't throw a pick six on that play either. I've never seen somebody step out of the end zone to create his own safety, and it's the better result than the actual play that resulted. It saved him 4 points. That's a first.
That's a first.
It was actually better for San Francisco that he stepped out, because if he didn't, it would have been a pick six. They would have lost the lead on the spot instead of forcing the Broncos to force us to continue to watch them on offense to try and score points. I'm telling you, man, this is exactly why they wanted to move on from Jimmy G. And then Trent Williams goes out and gets hurt, which was significant, to say the least, because he's the, you know, best an all-pro at the left tackle for a reason and going to the Hall of Fame for a reason.
Yeah.
But then Jimmy G has a chance to win the game late. did he no-look that pass over the middle? I don't think he was looking directly at it. He flung it over the middle, and Kurt Warner will always tell you on game day morning that Jimmy G's biggest mistakes are between the hash marks, and he did it again last night. You can't make that throw that he made at the end of the game when you're driving and all you need is to get Robbie Gould set up in the thin Rocky Mountain air to win this game. You cannot make that throw. You cannot turn that ball over, and he did. It's exactly why they wanted to move on from him. But they got him, and he's still better than most, certainly the options that they had. And so now it's a 1-2 San Francisco 49ers team taking on the Rams on Monday Night Football next week. They better still have the Rams number. Otherwise, they're 1-3. Yeah. Two-plus games behind the defending champs in the NFC West, if that's the result that the Rams get coming out of next Monday night. Huge game. This is what Coach Shanahan said after the game about Jimmy G's play, that safety. And he took one for everybody. He took one for everybody because, as I told you, his seat's not hot. Go for it.
I mean, that was a tough situation I put him in. That unblocked guy coming. Wish we'd had time for the big play and could have ditched it. But it was a tough situation I put him in.
How would you evaluate the way Jimmy played today?
I thought he played real well in the first half. I mean, I thought he was made some plays, hit the ones that were there, and then made some that weren't there. In the second half, I don't think anyone on offense did good, including myself. I mean, we didn't really get into rhythm the whole time, and our defense did a hell of a job keeping us in there, but we weren't able to get it going.
Defense looks great, don't they?
Yeah,
oh, my gosh.
Defense looked really good yesterday, yeah.
I mean, certainly when they're getting away with trips like Nick Bosa did. Boy, that's that shot that Bosa had of
that's
looking
gotta be
completely
reviewable.
Guilty.
It's got to be reviewable.
I know. It really hurt the Broncos to kick off the second half that way. But the defense looks terrific. Boy, how great is Fred Warner?
Ugh. He's everywhere.
Oh, God, I love watching him play.
Everywhere.
So, look, Niners defense, you're looking good. Jimmy G's just got to get rid of those mistakes. Got to get rid of those mistakes. And Kyle Shanahan took the heat for the play calling on the safety and the way things are going in the second half. We've all got to be better. So I'm telling you, his seat's not hot in San Francisco. It's not even close to lukewarm.
Ooh, I don't know.
It's not. It is not. It is not.
I have another poll question idea.
who's hot? Who see this hotter?
No. Okay. Who's more off the hook for their thing? Orlovsky, now that Jimmy G ran out of the end zone.
Or me for...
Or you, because App State beat Texas A&M.
Let me explain to you,
I'm
going
to lose that 100-0, but still a great one.
So well, Dan, no, Rich, you might or not neither. Rich. I'm going to put neither on there.
Because like I told you this morning, Brock, when Michigan is not off the Appalachian
neither.
State hook, Dan Orlovsky's not
no,
off
I mean,
of the
Dan
running
Orlovsky
out
Orlovsky stepped out of bounds, and Michigan still lost to Appalachian State.
Jimmy G
but others have now done it more recently, so yes.
No, Rich, Jimmy G
actually,
stepped
there's
out.
There's a fourth choice, excuse
Orlovsky
me.
Ran.
Fourth choice, but
different.
None? I put neither.
Who put neither. Neither? Both neither, Orlovsky or me.
Oh, neither. Oh, that's my vote.
Oh, okay,
yeah, we're both off the hook.
No, you're not.
All right, hold on.
Stop.
I'm going to hit
hold
both.
On.
At least we won. As soon as you tweet this out, at Rich Eisenshaw, I'll hit it with a retweet. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We got a great poll question. We got Chris Long. We got Tom Pelissero. We got you. We got Overreaction Monday still to come on this show. And when we come back... Oh, baby. Yeah, there's the stepbrothers, Orlovsky and Jimmy G. Well
get
done.
It, stepbrothers?
It looks very Silent to the Lambs that they've done with the faces there, too.
It's very poor Photoshop.
Orlovsky, you step your game up, man.
That was done really quick.
All right. When we come back, the Jaguars, Duval.
Yeah, Duval!
Here in L.A. County. When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you are opening up more than just doors, people. You're unlocking potential. The potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit that open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize... A Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. All right, folks. You know what? As you know, on this program, I take every possible opportunity to point out just what a flaming, complete, utter, unmitigated disaster Urban Meyer's head coaching tenure in the NFL was.
I was like, where's this
I mean,
going?
It's true with the Lord's work.
I mean, honestly, as you know. And so I've said many times, this year, your Jacksonville Jaguars, it's got to be worth at least a few games in the win column.
Absolutely.
The fact that not only did they hire a Super Bowl winning head coach who knows how to connect himself with a young, talented quarterback to the best of his ability. Not only that, he's got a sunny disposition. And not only that, his name is not Urban Meyer. So he's not only Doug Peterson, he's also not Urban Meyer.
Peterson.
I did not know. It would take just three mere National Football League contests to prove this point crystal clear to all of you in the football-loving nation. Certainly in Duval County.
Duval.
Where the Jacksonville Jaguars are currently your leader in the AFC South clubhouse. They went after Carson Wentz, could have won that football game in week number one. They could be 3-0, man. Could be 3-0. They shut out the Colts, and then they come here to Los Angeles and put the spank-a-lanka-lanka job, as Michael Irvin would say, on the Los Angeles Chargers, who for some reason still started Justin Herbert, gave him a shot in his rib cage, which thankfully, you know, hit the spot, and they threw it 45 times with the guy. Now, they had to put it up nonstop because they started falling down early because the Jaguars came here and put it to them. Put it to them. Trevor Lawrence damn near threw for 300 yards. Three touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence.
Three tutties.
Three touchdowns. Now, you'll be like, Rich, come on. How is that an indication of how this is because Doug Peterson is there and he's also not Urban Meyer? Well, this happened in SoFi Stadium. Last year, when the Jaguars went to SoFi Stadium, it was the game against the Rams, not the Chargers, but it was the game, if you recall, in which James Robinson fumbled early and then poof, disappeared, got benched like he was some redshirt freshman and not James Robinson. Benched, and this is the game where, due to all reports, Trevor Lawrence had to go up to Urban Meyer and say, where's James Robinson, essentially? And, oh, yeah, put him back in the game. Finally goes back in the game. It was a total disaster. The Rams beat him up so bad. I believe Tom Pelissero, our third-hour guest, was the one who reported that the players on the Jaguars went to Rams players after the game to say, get us out of here.
Get me out of here.
Get us out. Please. You have no idea how bad it is in our locker room and our franchise. And they return to the same stadium in week three, not only spank the Chargers, but James Robinson, he runs it in from 50 yards out on a fourth down. The coach is pushing buttons. He's using James Robinson. And Trevor Lawrence suddenly looks like the guy we thought he could be. Just three games in. Christian Kirk's running around. And just in case you think maybe I'm just, you know, doing that whole Michigan thing. I've got two sound bites. You tell me, let's play a game. Which Trevor Lawrence soundbite was from last year and then which one was from yesterday? At SoFi Stadium. Same locker room, same, I assume, step and repeat. Maybe even the same members of the media. All right. Soundbite A.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, I think I've done a better job taking care of the ball. It's one thing, but I don't really want to talk about the things that are positive right now. You know, we got to play better. Even if there's a couple things that we're doing well, we got to do a lot more things well to win games. So,
all right, could be he's just trying to focus on keeping a level head, right? Keep that in your head. Here's soundbite B.
Yeah, I think our confidence has been really high, honestly, the whole season, every game we've played in. Obviously, there's been times where we could play better, but I think our confidence has always been really high, and that's, and you see that on the field, and the confidence that the coaches have in us too. You know, went for it on fourth down multiple times, didn't get one of them early, but that's all right. Still the same plan, stay aggressive, and the guys handled it really well.
All right, you want to guess? Which one?
Well,
he has good hair in both, just so everybody knows.
That's right. Good one. Thank you. Not everyone's watching on the Roku channel. Great job to service the listening audience, Mike.
Phenomenal hair in both.
Facial features, very strong jaw.
Good job, guys.
Yep.
Painting word pictures for those who might not be watching on the Roku channel for free.
Really good. I'm going to say B was yesterday.
Yes, you win. You win. You just hear the difference in his voice. By the way, he's standing up straighter,
he's
too.
Like, he's like a little peppy. He's like,
yeah.
Go get a soda.
Coaches believe in us. We stayed consistent. That's not like some guy who's, you know, our top running back coming in. The year he's benched because he fumbled. Like, that'll teach him in the pros to not fumble. Nobody in SoFi yesterday went up to the Chargers and said, please get us the hell out of here. Doug Peterson, not Urban Meyer. 2-1 Jacksonville. They, you know, they may not win a lot of games. I might be wrong about that, and I think they are going to win a lot of games, quite honestly, in the future, maybe more than you expect this year. But what a difference a year makes. Same building, different results, big time. Big time. Jacksonville Jaguars, 2-1 after 3 weeks, having won two in a row. And next up, it's Doug Peterson walking into his old spot in Philadelphia. Talk about a Philly special. Oh, baby. Chris Long coming up, hour two. And one other thing while I'm on the subject.
And another thing, Vonnegut.
Let me just say this. Speaking on behalf of all Michigan Wolverine fans, especially since Fox is going to Iowa next week.
Yes.
I don't care how much Charles Woodson you put on the screen. I cannot watch Urban Meyer lead into a Michigan game. Period. End of story. I will not. And I love Charles Woodson. Not enough Woodson deodorant will keep me from not clicking that channel. But that's the choice they've made. And I'll say this as well. I don't know if this is true, but I saw it on Twitter. And I certainly didn't see it on the screen. I was told that Fox wouldn't let any Wolverine fans who were at, say, the Wolverines Big Ten home opener and homecoming game against Maryland, prior to which the entire Fox College Football Sunday crew was at Ann Arbor. I was told there could be no anti-Urban Meyer signs being held up. Really?
I'm seeing that as well.
Really? Yes. Oh, okay. Interesting. So we're just going to act like none of that happened. But we can put up on the screen he was 7-0 all time against Michigan. We can do that. We could put that graphic up for everybody to tweet it in my timeline. But any signs talking about anything he's done, no, take those down. Got it. I'll remember that. Didn't miss that. Hour two coming up.